Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a subject that, well, it affects a lot of us, alcohol and health. We're digging into this really interesting interactive guide, Understanding Alcohol and Your Health.
Yeah, it's quite a resource.
Our plan is basically to pull out the key stuff, what alcohol actually does, the real story on addiction, and importantly, ways towards, well-being.
Exactly. We want to give you a clear picture. Go a bit deeper than the headlines usually do.
Right. We're not just reading it. We're adding some context, hopefully making it really stick.
Let's hope so.
Okay, so let's jump in. The guide starts with something called the unseen truth about alcohol. Straight away, it kind of pushes back on some common ideas, doesn't it?
It really does. Like that old chestnut about a glass of wine a day being, maybe even good for you.
Yeah, I've heard that one plenty.
Well, the evidence presented here, it suggests that even that level, that sort of moderate daily amount, it can actually increase risks for health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer is a big one mentioned.
Cancer from just one drink a day.
That's what the data they present points towards. It sort of reframes the whole conversation away mm-hmm. from potential minor benefits to a more consistent potential risk.
Mm. That definitely makes you pause. Okay, so that leads us into the next bit. Alcohol's impact on your body. This is where it gets interactive in the guide, right?
That's right. It's set up so you can sort of mentally click on different parts of the body, liver, brain, heart, digestive system, immune system.
Like exploring the damage zone almost.
Kind of, yeah. It shows how widespread the effects are.
Mm.
So if you were to, say, click on liver in this app, what would you find?
What's the main takeaway there?
You'd see the progression. It starts with fatty liver disease, which often creeps up silently and can move towards cirrhosis. That's serious scarring.
And that's not just for really heavy drinkers.
No, that's a key point.
Yeah.
Consistent, even moderate drinking over time can contribute. It's not solely about volume in one sitting.
Okay. And the brain. What impacts are highlighted there? Beyond the obvious coordination thing.
Well, the guide talks about both short-term memory fuzziness, forgetting bits of the night before, but also more lasting cognitive issues with chronic use.
Mm.
It can actually change the brain.
Right. Changes the structure and how it works,
mm-hmm.
and the heart button. What sort of things would typically pop up there?
You'd likely see information about increased blood pressure, maybe irregular heart rhythms, arrhythmias.
Yeah.
Stuff that raises the risk for, bigger heart problems down the line.
Again, even with consistent, moderate drinking.
Yeah, it puts a strain on the system. It's mm-hmm. not just about binging.
Got it. And the digestive system, what's the impact there?
That section would probably cover irritation, inflammation, then gastritis, ulcers.
Yeah.
Plus, it can interfere with your body absorbing nutrients properly.
So a double whammy, almost irritation, plus not getting the good stuff you need.
Exactly. Leads to other problems.
And the last button, immune system. How does alcohol affect that?
Basically, it can suppress it, makes your body less effective at fighting off infections, viruses, that kind of thing.
So you might get sick more often.
Potentially, yeah. So you see, it really touches, almost everywhere in the body. Which naturally brings us to the next big topic the guide tackles, addiction.
Yes, and this feels really crucial. The guide makes a point of defining addiction not as like a moral weakness, but as a complex health condition.
Absolutely. That shift in perspective is so important. It helps reduce stigma, encourages people to actually seek help without feeling ashamed.
Yeah, definitely.
And to make it clearer, the guide uses this concept, the four C's of addiction. It's presented like an accordion you can click through.
Okay, let's unpack those. The first C is loss of control. What does that mean practically?
Loss of control is basically when you can't stick to your own limits. You might say, just one drink tonight, but then you find you just keep going.
Ah, right. You intended one thing, but something else happened.
Precisely. Then the second C is compulsive use.
How that different?
Compulsive use is more about that intense urge, that drive to use the substance that starts to take over your thoughts and priorities. Getting it and using it becomes kind of central.
Okay. And the third one, use despite consequences. That sounds pretty serious.
It is. This is when someone keeps drinking, even when it's clearly causing problems. Health issues, relationship trouble, job problems, legal stuff.
Yeah.
But they still can't stop.
Negative feedback loop isn't working.
Right. And the last C is craving.
How do they define that?
Craving is that really powerful urge, almost a physical need, to use the substance and feel its effects. It can be triggered by anything: stress, seeing certain people, even just a time of day.
Like that intense feeling of needing a drink after a bad day.
Exactly that. Understanding those four C's, it gives you a framework. And the guide also talks about the biology, the brain's intricate dance.
What's the key insight there? How does it explain what's happening in the brain?
It explains how alcohol kind of hijacks the brain's reward pathway. It floods the brain with dopamine, which feels good, reinforcing the behavior.
The pleasure hit.
Yeah. But the problem is the brain adapts. It gets less sensitive, so you need more alcohol to get that same feeling. That's tolerance.
Ah, okay.
And at the same time, it messes with your brain's natural pain relief system. So when you stop drinking, you get withdrawal symptoms, which makes you want to drink again to feel better. It's a cycle.
Wow, yeah. A powerful biological trap. Okay, so shifting focus a bit, the guide then looks at the deep roots why we turn to substances. Goes beyond just the brain chemistry.
Right. It takes a broader look. Mm-hmm. It acknowledges that it's rarely just one thing. It's often this complex mix of our biology and our life experiences.
It mentions genetics first. How much do genes play a role?
Well, genetics can influence things like how you metabolize alcohol or how sensitive your brain's reward system is. Some variations make developing addiction more likely.
But it's not destiny, right?
No, definitely not. It's about susceptibility, your environment, your experiences. They matter hugely, too.
Which leads to the next point, trauma. How does that factor in?
Trauma, whether it's from childhood, abuse, major stress, it leaves deep emotional scars. Alcohol can become a way to try and cope, to numb those painful feelings or memories, kind of self-medicating.
A temporary escape that can turn into a trap.
Exactly. And then there's isolation and lack of connection.
That makes sense. Humans need connection.
We really do. If someone feels really isolated, lonely, lacking support, substances like alcohol can seem like a way to fill that emptiness, even if it's just temporary relief.
A substitute for real connection.
In a way, yeah. And finally, it mentions pain relief and reward, sort of tying back to the brain, but more broadly.
How so?
It just acknowledges that basic human drive to avoid pain, both physical and emotional, and seek pleasure. Alcohol can seem at first to do both, numb the bad feelings, create some good ones. That reinforcement is powerful.
So it's really this combination of factors, usually. Biology, experience, unmet needs.
Precisely. It's complex. Which, thankfully, leads us to the next section, which is more hopeful. A path to flourishing hope and healing.
Good. Because it's important to know change is possible. This part looks at solutions, recovery.
Yes. It really emphasizes that recovery works. And there are good evidence-based ways to get there. It outlines a few key things.
First up is effective tools. What does that cover?
That would include things like medications, which can really help manage withdrawal and cravings, especially early on. And also different kinds of therapy, like CBT or motivational interviewing.
Therapy to build coping skills and address the root causes.
Exactly. Giving people practical strategies. Then there's the empathy advantage.
I like the sound of that. What does it mean?
It's about the power of compassion, understanding, support, no judgment from family, friends, support groups, doctors. It makes a massive difference when someone feels supported, not shamed.
Creating that safe space to heal.
Mm-hmm. The guide also discusses building resilience. How do you develop that?
What does that involve?
It means finding healthy ways to cope with life's stresses without turning to alcohol. Things like mindfulness, exercise, connecting with supportive people, learning to solve problems effectively.
Building up that inner toolkit.
Yeah, exactly. And the last point here is language matters. Seems small, but it's important, right?
How so?
Using respectful, person-first language makes a big difference. Saying a person with a substance use disorder, instead of calling someone an addict, helps reduce stigma. It acknowledges they're a person dealing with a health issue.
It frames it correctly. Okay, so lots of pathways to recovery, emphasizing support. Now, the guide also includes some stats and visuals.
Yes, key statistics and visualizations to give a sense of scale. There's an interactive bar chart on alcohol and breast cancer risk increase.
What does that show visually?
You'd see bars getting progressively taller.
Yeah.
It shows how the risk for breast cancer in women goes up, even with, say, one or two drinks a day compared to none. It clearly visualizes that increasing risk.
Reinforces that point about moderate maybe not being risk-free.
Exactly. And there's another chart on the global addiction treatment gap.
What's the story there?
That one shows a huge difference. You'd likely see a very tall bar representing all the people globally who need help for substance use disorders, and then a much, much smaller bar showing how many actually get treatment.
Wow. A massive unmet need.
Huge. It really highlights a global public health challenge.
And there's specific statistic cards, too.
Yeah, two main ones mentioned. One gives the global number of alcohol-related deaths each year. It's around insert statistic, just staggering.
That many. Wow.
And the second focuses on young people, highlighting the annual alcohol-related deaths in that group, which is also alarmingly high, around insert statistic.
Sobering numbers indeed. Okay, finally, the guide wraps up with your next step call to action. This is about empowering the listener, right?
Exactly. It's about encouraging you to think about your own health and maybe consider some small steps.
It suggests starting by defining your why for well-being. Why is that important?
Knowing why you want to make changes, what really motivates you personally, gives you that inner drive, that direction. It helps keep you going.
Connecting to your values. Makes sense. It also pushes for small, manageable changes.
Yeah, which is much more realistic, isn't it? Big, drastic changes are hard to sustain. Small steps build habits, build momentum. It's less overwhelming.
Definitely. And it suggests exploring healthier alternatives to alcohol. What might those be?
Oh, anything, really.
Yeah.
Exercise, hobbies, nature, spending quality time with people doing alcohol-free things, trying out some of the, you know, new non-alcoholic drinks out there. Finding things that feel good and support your health.
Finding fulfilling replacement.
Mm-hmm. And crucially, it advises recognizing when you might need help and knowing how to get it.
Being aware of the signs and the resources.
Yeah, knowing who to talk to, a doctor, a helpline, maybe looking into support groups like AA if that feels right. Just knowing help is available.
And right at the very end, there's a button to click for a positive affirmation.
Yeah, a little boost. If you click the Reflect and Commit to Well-Being button, you might see something like, you have the inner strength to choose your health and happiness. Something encouraging.
A nice touch. Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive into this guide, what are the really big takeaways for you?
I think, number one, even what seems like moderate drinking isn't necessarily harmless. Number two, understanding addiction as a complex health issue, not a flaw. And number three, the hopeful message that effective help and recovery are absolutely possible.
Yeah, it feels like understanding the impact, the complexity, and the pathways to healing really empowers you to make different choices.
Exactly. That knowledge is key, both for yourself and for having more compassion for others.
Well said. And maybe a final thought for everyone listening. We talked a lot about individual factors like genetics or trauma, but how interconnected is all this with bigger societal things? Like, if we focus more on tackling isolation and building stronger communities, could that actually reduce the need for people to turn to substances in the first place? Something to chew on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.